Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Steven Weinberg S. To Explain the World, The Discovery of Modern Science is a History of Science written from the perspective of a practicing physicist. Rather than offering a neutral survey of ideas across all cultures and disciplines, the book follows the long development of scientific thought from ancient Greece through the medieval world and into the scientific revolution, ending with the emergence of modern science in the age of Newton. Its central purpose is to ask how science became a reliable way of learning about nature and why that achievement was so difficult. Weinberg argues that earlier thinkers did not merely lack correct answers. They also lacked the conceptual tools, mathematical habits, and standards of explanation that modern science requires. The result is both historical narrative and philosophical argument. It is a book about astronomy, physics, method, and intellectual change, but also about the difference between clever speculation and disciplined inquiry. Weinberg S. account is ambitious, argumentative, and openly shaped by present scientific knowledge. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, science as discovery rather than invention. One of the book S. defining claims is that modern science should be understood as a discovery rather than an invention. Weinberg does not treat science as just one cultural language among many, or as a system created entirely by social agreement. Instead, he argues that science gradually uncovered real features of the world because nature itself constrains which explanations can survive. This position shapes the entire narrative. The story is not simply that human beings got more creative over time. It is that some methods and ideas worked because they matched the structure of reality more closely than others. Weinberg therefore presents scientific progress as uneven but cumulative, with later achievements revealing why many earlier approaches failed. This also explains his willingness to assess old theories in light of what is now known. He wants to show not only what historical thinkers believed, but why some beliefs could not lead to modern science. That stance has drawn criticism from historians who prefer a more contextual method, yet it is central to the book's identity. By framing science as discovery, Weinberg gives the history of science a strong realist core and makes the rise of modern inquiry seem both intellectually hard-won and objectively grounded. Secondly, the ancient Greek beginning and its limits. Weinberg gives major attention to the Greeks, because he sees them as the first civilization to pursue systematic natural explanation with lasting intensity. The book explores pre-Socratic thinkers, Plato, Aristotle, and later Hellenistic figures, showing how they helped create habits of reasoning that would matter for later science. Greek thinkers asked broad questions about matter, motion, order, and cosmology. They developed geometry, logic, and philosophical argument on an extraordinary scale, yet Weinberg is equally interested in their limitations. In his view, ancient thought often prized deduction, harmony, and abstract reasoning more than measurement and controlled confrontation with experience. Aristotle, for example, was brilliant and influential, but his approach did not generate the kind of mathematical physics that later transformed natural knowledge. The Greeks achieved intellectual breakthroughs, yet they did not assemble the full method of modern science. This double judgment is one of the book's main strengths. Weinberg admires the scale of Greek achievement without treating it as sufficient. He shows that early natural philosophy provided conceptual beginnings, but not the mature standards of explanation that modern science demands. The Greek world becomes, in his telling, both the birthplace of rational inquiry and a reminder that reason alone is not enough. Thirdly, medieval and Islamic contributions to the road toward modern science. A major corrective in the book is Weinberg's insistence that the path to modern science did not run directly from classical Greece to Renaissance Europe. He discusses medieval scholars and the Arabic-speaking world as important stages in the preservation, criticism, and extension of ancient knowledge. Centers of learning in places such as Baghdad helped transmit Greek works and fostered astronomical and mathematical inquiry. Medieval European scholars also contributed to changing habits of thought, especially in logic, natural philosophy, and institutional learning. Weinberg does not claim that these periods produce modern science in full form, but he does treat them as essential parts of the long preparation. What mattered was not just storing texts, but slowly reshaping standards of argument and explanation. At the same time, he remains selective in emphasis. The book focuses mainly on the traditions that fed into the scientific revolution, especially astronomy and physics. Readers looking for a broad global history may find this narrower than they want, and critics have noted limited attention to China and India. Still, within its chosen frame, the book makes clear that the emergence of modern science required centuries of transmission, commentary, and partial innovation. The scientific revolution did not erupt from a vacuum. It grew from long intellectual labor across multiple eras. Fourthly, astronomy, motion, and the making of scientific method. The book repeatedly returns to problems such as planetary motion and tides, because Weinberg sees them as test cases in the formation of modern science. Astronomy provided unusually precise phenomena that forced thinkers to move beyond loose explanation. Ancient and medieval models could account for appearances only up to a point, and the pressure to explain irregular motions gradually exposed the need for better mathematics and more demanding standards of theory. Weinberg traces this development through figures associated with the scientific revolution, especially Copernicus, Kepler, Galileo, and Newton. What interests him is not merely the replacement of one worldview by another, but the emergence of a new style of explanation that joined observation, mathematics, and physical law. In this account, modern science appears when explanation becomes quantitative, predictive, and tied to universal principles. The example of celestial mechanics matters because it shows science becoming something more than philosophy or descriptive learning. It becomes a disciplined search for lawful structure. Weinberg highlights how difficult this change was. Even brilliant minds often lacked the right concepts of inertia, force, or method. The history of astronomy, therefore, becomes the history of science learning how to explain nature with precision instead of only describing or interpreting it. Lastly, physics as the model of explanatory depth. Weinberg's background as a theoretical physicist is visible throughout the book, and one of its strongest themes is the privileged role of physics in the growth of modern science. He treats physics as the field that most clearly reveals what successful explanation looks like. For him, the great transformation in human understanding came when nature was described through mathematically formulated laws that could explain diverse phenomena under common principles. This is why the book gives such sustained attention to mechanics, astronomy, and related questions. Weinberg suggests that physics achieved a kind of explanatory depth that later sciences often build upon rather than replace. That emphasis helps give the narrative coherence, but it also shapes the book's limits. Biology and other sciences receive less sustained treatment, and some readers may find the hierarchy too strong. Still, the point is not merely disciplinary preference. Weinberg is making a philosophical claim about what it means to understand the world. Explanation, in his view, reaches its deepest form when it connects many observations to a small set of reliable and mathematically precise principles. This makes the book especially valuable for readers interested in how physics influenced the very idea of scientific knowledge, not just particular discoveries. In conclusion, to explain the world is best suited to readers who want more than a celebratory timeline of discoveries. It will appeal to people interested in the history of science, the philosophy of scientific knowledge, and the origins of modern ways of explaining nature. Readers with some interest in physics or astronomy may get the most from it. But thoughtful general readers can also benefit from its broad historical arc and clear sense of stakes. The book offers an intellectual benefit more than a practical one. It sharpens the reader's understanding of why modern science required not just data, but new standards of evidence, mathematical reasoning, and explanatory ambition. It also encourages reflection on what counts as progress in knowledge and why some old systems of thought, however sophisticated, could not produce modern science on their own. What makes the book stand out is its distinctive viewpoint. Many histories of science emphasize cultural setting and social process. Weinberg, by contrast, writes as a scientist concerned with truth, error, and the eventual discovery of reliable methods. That makes the book more argumentative than many surveys, and sometimes more controversial, but also more memorable. It stands out as a serious, learned, and provocative account of how human beings slowly learn to explain the world in a modern scientific sense. If you would like to support Steven Weinberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.